Okay, so you're not going to believe this, but we need to deep dive into South Korea today. Things got intense, to say the least.
Really intense.
Yeah, we're talking late night announcements,
Yeah.
military helicopters, politicians, climbing fences like it's straight out of a movie, and all this in a country known for its stable democracy.
Right, which is what makes it all the more shocking.
Exactly. And that's why you're here. You always manage to connect the dots and explain the why behind these wild
I
events.
try my best.
So for our listeners who are about to walk into a meeting where everyone's buzzing about South Korea, help us break down what happened and what it all means.
Gotcha. So the story starts on Tuesday night, a pretty normal night in Seoul, you know.
Right.
But beneath the surface, tensions had been building for weeks.
Right. President Yoon's approval ratings were tanking. His party had lost control of the National Assembly.
Yeah, and he was dealing with all those corruption scandals that just wouldn't go away.
So there's already this sense of unease. Like something's got to give.
Definitely. And then bam. Just before 11 p.m., the entire country is hit with a surprise televised address from President Yoon.
Okay, drama time.
Total drama. Imagine you're settling in for the night, maybe watching some TV, and suddenly the president pops up on your screen looking super serious. He announces that he's declaring martial law effective immediately.
Whoa, hold up. Martial law in South Korea? I mean, that's not something you hear every day, especially not in a democratic country.
Not at all.
So, what was his justification for such a drastic move?
He claimed that there were anti-state forces working against him, plotting to undermine his government. And get this, he said these forces were working with North Korea.
Whoa, okay, so he's painting this picture of a nation on the brink of chaos.
Exactly. He was trying to make it seem like he had no choice but to take drastic action.
But was there any evidence to back up these claims? Did he show any proof of this supposed conspiracy?
That's the thing that really set off alarm bells. He offered zero concrete evidence. No intelligence reports, no specific examples of wrongdoing, nothing.
So he's making these dramatic pronouncements about threats to national security, but he's not showing his work, so to speak.
Nope. And remember, all this is happening very late at night with no warning. It's like a bombshell.
Yeah, the suddenness, the lack of transparency, it must have created a ton of confusion and fear.
Oh, absolutely. It felt like the rug was being pulled out from under everyone.
And I bet it didn't stop there.
It didn't. As soon as Yoon finished his address, things started happening really fast. It was almost hard to keep up.
Okay, so set the scene for us. What happened next?
Well, within minutes of the announcement, military helicopters started landing on the National Assembly building in Seoul.
Like an action movie.
Totally. Troops and police were everywhere, setting up barricades, cordoning off the area. There were even reports of masked soldiers, some with guns, entering the building itself.
Wow, that's incredibly bold. What was the reaction from the people inside the National Assembly?
It was chaos. Lawmakers and staff were caught completely off guard, many of them still working late. Some tried to fight back against the soldiers. They even used fire extinguishers to try and keep them out.
So you have this scene of lawmakers who are supposed to represent the people literally fighting to defend their own parliament building from the military.
Yeah, it was a wild scene, something most people never thought they'd see in a democratic country like South Korea. It was a moment that captured just how audacious Yoon's move was. It was a real turning point, like he was trying to silence any opposition.
And remember, this is all happening against a backdrop of, like you said, growing political unrest and all that economic uncertainty. It must have felt like the country was teetering on the edge of a coup.
Right. People were glued to their TVs and phones, just trying to make sense of it all. Social media was blowing up with speculation and rumors.
So you've got this military takeover of the National Assembly, but surely there must have been pushback, some resistance to this power grab. How did the political opposition respond?
Oh, they were furious. And I think the reaction even surprised Yoon. Despite it being so late and the element of surprise, opposition lawmakers started racing to the National Assembly.
They didn't waste any time.
Nope. Some of them were climbing fences and pushing past barricades just to get inside.
Wow, talk about taking a stand for democracy.
Absolutely. And once they were in, they immediately started figuring out how to counter Yoon's move.
So you had lawmakers from all different parties united in their outrage.
Exactly. They were determined to uphold the Constitution.
But how do you actually fight back against martial law?
Well, the South Korean Constitution does allow for martial law, you know, in emergency situations, but it also has safeguards to prevent abuse.
Okay, checks and balances.
Right. And one of those safeguards is that any declaration of martial law has to be approved by the National Assembly.
So the parliament actually had the power to overturn Yoon's decree.
Exactly. And that's what they did. They didn't mess around. Within hours, 190 members of the National Assembly, a clear majority, voted unanimously to reject the martial law declaration.
Wow, so despite all the chaos and fear, the South Korean parliament stood its ground.
They sure did. And that defiance sent a powerful message not just to Yoon, but to the whole world. It showed that South Korean democracy wasn't going down without a fight.
That's incredible. But it wasn't just the lawmakers, right? What about the everyday people? How did the South Korean public react to all this?
Oh, the public response was huge. Thousands of people poured into the streets of Seoul, defying the military curfew and gathering outside the National Assembly building.
They weren't letting this stand.
Nope. They were chanting slogans against Yoon, demanding he resign, and carrying signs that said things like democracy in danger and no to dictatorship.
Wow. So you have this incredible scene unfolding. The military's taken over the parliament. Lawmakers are working to overturn the martial law decree, and outside there are thousands of people protesting in defiance of a military curfew. It's like something out of a movie.
It was surreal. And the question became, what would Yoon do next? How would he respond to all this resistance?
Yeah, he's painted himself into a corner.
Totally. And I think he realized he'd made a huge miscalculation. He underestimated just how resilient South Korean democracy is.
So what did he do? Did he back down?
He did. Just a few hours after declaring martial law, he announced he was lifting it. He said he'd listen to the National Assembly and the public outcry.
So he tried to spin it as him being a good guy listening to the people.
Exactly. But it was obvious he'd been forced to back down.
Talk about a wild ride. In just a few hours, South Korea went from the brink of authoritarian rule back to some semblance of democracy.
It was a roller coaster, and it left everyone wondering, what just happened? Why did you even try this? And what does it all mean for South Korea going forward?
It's mind-boggling, right? Like, what was he hoping to achieve?
Yeah, it's tough to say what was going on in Yoon's head.
Maybe he thought he could just grab power and everyone would fall in line.
It's possible, but I think it's more complicated than that.
Okay, so let's connect the dots then. You mentioned he's been under a lot of pressure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He's got a hostile parliament, his approval ratings are in the basement, and he's been fighting off all these corruption scandals.
So you're thinking maybe he saw this as a way to deflect attention from all that?
It could be. You know, declaring a national emergency even without solid evidence could have been a way to shift the blame project's strength and silence his critics all at once.
But that strategy backfired spectacularly, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, big time. Instead of getting everyone on his side, he just created more opposition and ultimately ended up having to back down.
That's got to be embarrassing.
For sure. And I think that's what's so fascinating about this whole thing. Like, you know, despite the chaos and the fear, South Korean democracy actually held strong.
Yeah, the parliament, the media, the people, they all pushed back against this attempted power grab.
Exactly. And that's a big deal. This incident definitely shows how vulnerable South Korea's political system can be, but it also shows its resilience.
So bringing this back to our listener, who's about to walk into that meeting where everyone's talking about South Korea, What's the key takeaway here? Why should they care?
Well, I think this whole situation goes beyond just South Korea. It's a wake-up call that democracy is fragile, even in places that seem stable and prosperous.
A reminder that it can happen anywhere.
Exactly. And it shows how quickly things can change when a leader disregards democratic norms and institutions, you know, just to try and hold on to power.
And it makes you think, could we see something like this happen in other democracies?
That's the scary part, isn't it? It really highlights how important it is to have a vigilant citizenry, a free press, and a strong system of checks and balances. Those are the things that protect us from authoritarianism.
So keep a close eye on South Korea, folks. This story is far from over.
Yeah, this might actually be more damaging to South Korea's image than the January 6th riots in the U.S. You know, this is a country that's incredibly proud of its hard-won democracy. So will this just be a blip on the radar or a sign of deeper instability?
That's the question we'll all be thinking about. Thanks for this incredible deep dive.
My pleasure.
I have a feeling we'll be talking about this again soon. So to all our listeners out there, stay informed, stay engaged, and stay curious. We'll see you next time.